Please, will you be seated? Well, as you'll recall, we're in a very brief series just over the school holidays, dipping into the Old Testament book of Proverbs, and the title of that series is Growing in Biblical Wisdom. Last week, we explored the instruction, do not be wise in your own eyes. And this week, we'll be taking a look at the subject of wisdom and friendship. Wisdom, as it is taught in the Old Testament, is basically the skill of living. It is a practical knowledge that helps one to know how to act and how to speak in different situations. So it's got nothing to do with intelligence. In fact, if anything, it's closer to emotional intelligence than it is to something like an IQ. Wisdom, essentially, is the ability to navigate life. And so this morning we're taking a look at the subject of wisdom and friendship. Well, one of my favorite fictitious characters in English literature is Emma from Jane Austen's novel, which was published in 1815 by the same name. Emma Woodhouse belongs to a moderately wealthy family and is beautiful, intelligent, a high-spirited young woman, and she generally believes that she is right. George Knightley is a close friend of Emma's in the novel, and Miss Bates is a friendly, talkative spinster whom Emma publicly criticizes in one of the chapters in the novel and humiliates Miss Bates because of her non-stop chatter. Well, Mr. Knightley privately, after that, takes Emma aside. And we read, I'm actually using the screen adaptation, not the novel, because the novel's a little bit more lengthy. But here is the conversation from the Gwyneth Paltrow adaptation of Emma. Mr. Knightley, Emma, how could you be so unfeeling to Miss Bates? How can you be so insolent to a woman of her age and situation? I had not thought it possible. Emma, how could I help saying it? I dare say she did not understand me. Mr. Knightley, oh, I assure you, she felt your full meaning. She cannot stop mentioning it. I wish you could have heard her honour your forbearance in putting up with her when her society is so irksome. Emma, I know there is no better creature in all the world, but you must allow that, blended alongside of the good, there is an equal amount of ridiculous in her. Mr. Knightley, were she prosperous, or a woman equal to your age and situation, I would not quarrel with any liberties of manner. But she is poor, even more so than she was when she was born. And should she live to be an old lady, she will sink further still. Her situation being in every way below you should secure your compassion. Badly done, Emma. Badly done. She has watched you grow from a time when her notice of you was an honor to this. Humbling her and laughing at her in front of people who would be guided by your treatment of her. It is not pleasant for me to say these things, but I must tell you the truth while I can, proving myself your friend by the most faithful counsel, trusting that sometime you will do my faith in you greater justice than you do it now. End quote. Well, there's a rebuke, if ever there was one, and there's a true friend, if ever there was one. Jeremy Taylor lived in the 17th century. He was a clergyman in the Church of England, Bishop of Down and Connor in Ireland, and he was also the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Dublin. And he is remembered for his great skills as a writer. And there's a wonderful quote from Jeremy Taylor on friendship. He wrote, "By friendship, you mean the greatest love, the greatest usefulness, the most open communication, the noblest sufferings, the severest truth, the heartiest counsel, and the greatest union of minds which brave men and women are capable." Well, that's a great definition of friendship. And we're turning our attention to a specific proverb on friendship in Proverbs chapter 27 this morning, which echoes the words of Mr. Knightley in Emma and echoes the words of Jeremy Taylor. In chapter 27 of Proverbs, in verse 6, we read, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. This proverb sets up a clear contrast, doesn't it, with the word but. But there's also a surprising element about the proverb. We do not expect wounds from a friend, do we? And we don't expect kisses from an enemy. Well, common sense suggests that there's something wrong with this picture. And the explanation for it seems to be in the proverb which comes just before verse 6. And so in verse 5 we read, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Rebuke, of course, is reproving, it's scolding, it's telling a person off. Rebuke is putting someone straight when he or she has gone astray. Well, if that's the case, a rebuke is not an easy word to hear, is it? But remember that it's also not an easy word to say. Yet a friend's rebuke is better than so-called love, which says absolutely nothing. Someone who never corrects you when you're wrong does not care about you. So when we return to our proverb, it makes much more sense, doesn't it? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A more literal translation of that might be, trustworthy are the bruises of a friend, and dangerous are the kisses of a hater. Of course, the bruises and kisses we know are not literal. The bruises or wounds refer to an unpleasant rebuke. Whenever is a rebuke pleasant? And of course, the kisses refer to pleasant speech. But the rebukes of a friend are reliable because they are inflicted with the best motivation. They are inflicted for our good. And so beware the so-called friend who only ever compliments you. Beware. That person does not have your interests at heart. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We see that wisdom illustrated in Jesus' friendships with his disciples, don't we? You might remember the story after Jesus was identified by Simon Peter as the Christ, the King of God's kingdom. Jesus taught the disciples that he must suffer many things, be rejected by the Jewish leaders, and killed, and after 3 days rise again. Well, when Peter heard this, he pulled Jesus aside and he put Jesus straight. After all, Peter knew the Jews were looking for a conquering king. Well, how did Jesus respond to that? Did Jesus commend Peter for his zeal? Did Jesus compliment Peter on his political savvy? Well, we know what happened, don't we? Jesus rebuked Peter. Do you remember those words? "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Ouch. Peter needed to be corrected for his own sake and for the sake of the other disciples, because Peter was terribly mistaken. And Jesus' words would certainly have bruised Peter. Imagine your best friend calling you Satan. But wounds from Jesus can be trusted. But we also see this wisdom illustrated in another of Jesus' friendships, don't we? In fact, in a very literal and a very tragic way. Because kisses are not always what they seem to be, are they? The motive behind the kiss is much more important than the action itself. How, of course, did Judas Iscariot betray Jesus into the hands of his enemies? But with none other than a kiss. Jesus knew the motivation behind that kiss. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Well, let me ask you, has a friend ever scolded you for your gossip, or maybe your critical words, or your prejudiced comments? Has a mate ever reproved you for having a pity party, or for giving up too easily, or for having a temper tantrum? Has a friend ever rebuked you for your lax church attendance, or for neglecting to pray, or for not trusting God's promises? Well, if a friend has not rebuked you in any of those ways, why not? Do your mates really care about you? Are they true friends? Who are your friends? And are they Christians, for that matter? Are they bothered whether you're following Jesus or not? Do they care whether you delight in God or live in sin? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If you have ever been told off by a friend, how did you take it? How did you take it? Something tells me with a little difficulty. Did you accept that correction, though, in humility? Or did you reject it in pride? Did you receive it even though it was tough to hear? Or did you tell that person to mind their own business and keep their opinions to themselves? A wise person welcomes correction. A wise person wants to know when they have gone wrong. A wise person desires to learn from their mistakes. The great contemporary Christian scholar and author Oz Guinness said these memorable words: "Nothing is more stimulating than friends who speak the truth in love." Nothing is more stimulating than friends who speak the truth in love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We need to learn to be open to the correction of our friends, don't we? A friend does not just tell you what you want to hear, they tell you what you need to hear. The 19th century Lutheran scholar R.C.H. Lenski wrote these words: "It is the best and truest friend who honestly tells us the truth about ourselves, even when he knows we shall not like it. False friends are the ones who hide such truth from us and do so in order to remain in our favor." Well put. We need to learn to value our true friends, those people who are willing to say hard words to us for our good. We also need to develop a wariness of those people who are only concerned for making us feel good about ourselves. Be wary. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. But we cannot stop there, can we? Because we need to turn the question upon ourselves. What kind of a friend, in other words, are you and I? Do we care enough about our friends to speak uncomfortable words? Are we willing to say what needs to be said, even if it means getting a cool response? And sometimes it can be a very frosty response, can't it? Are we even willing to risk the friendship for the well-being of our friends? You and I need to care enough about our friends to show tough love. We need to acknowledge that painful words can bring healing if they are directed at destructive behavior. We need to recognize that someone who does not protect another person from danger is no friend at all. We need to learn to be true friends, speaking the truth in love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that it gives to us for life. And we thank you particularly for the Proverbs concerning friendship. And we know that we've only looked at one or two of those this morning. But Lord, we pray that you would give us, through your Spirit, the willingness and the power to receive this wisdom. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Father, we pray that you would make us receptive to the bruises of a friend given out of love and concern. Help us to receive them in humility. But Father, we pray too that you would make us wary of those who multiply kisses. Help us to recognize that people who truly care for us will correct us when we go wrong, will protect us from danger, will say the negative word that is necessary. And so, Father, we pray too that you would help us to be true friends. Help us to love our friends enough to be honest with them, to tell them what perhaps they might not even want to hear, simply because we care for them. Help us to be brave enough to withstand the icy blast, or even to lose the friendship. But help us to speak the truth in love. And so we ask these things in your Spirit's power and in Jesus' name. Amen.